You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, hey, welcome to HR Bandit, the podcast where we cover the top workplace stories shaping the future of work every single month. I'm your host, Apoorva.
And I'm Ankita. If this is your first time here, a big welcome. And let us know over at LinkedIn how you found us. If this is you returning, a big hug and welcome back. The world of work has been a whirlwind, but September was also a month of firsts for us. Apoorva, this was a milestone month for you. Tell us why.
A big one indeed. I celebrated my daughter's first birthday, which also meant that it was my first one as a mom. Let's just say it was equal parts cake, chaos and joy.
Congratulations. I am very curious about why the chaos. I'll find out later. But here's many, many, many more cakes, chaos and joy. May it never cease. On that note, I didn't have any cake, but I did get to attend a talk by none other than the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, who was in Dublin. It was surreal hearing him reflect on leadership, resilience, and optimism at a weird time in life. But before I let you jump into three topics, Apoorva, I'm going to use this time to share a little snippet from his talk, which I think is very relevant for our profession and was very helpful to be reminded of it. So in referring to the climate crisis, he said that technically the solutions to arrest rising temperatures exist. Like if we wanted to, we could put them in motion today and stop it from becoming worse almost immediately. However, the solution needs organizing humans, and humans are messy. And this is why, of all the problems in the world, he's investing in developing strong leaders who can bring humans together and drive change. There you go, Apoorva. That's my little story time. If I could, I would repeat so many more snippets from his talk, but I'll stop at that one.
Yeah, we need to connect offline to learn more about what you learned. But based on what you just said, it is such a good reminder that where we are all talking about, oh, the implication of AI in the workforce and this and that, I feel this is a good way for us to take us back to the core of our jobs. Our jobs being to reduce chaos, aligning people, and building the kind of leaders who can drive real change. Whether it's in tackling climate change challenges or workplace challenges, HR is at the center of making humans move in the same direction. Now, with that, let me take us back to our podcast. So today, as usual, we will be covering three topics. For our first story, the rise of AI work slop. Why low-quality AI-generated output might be quietly destroying productivity instead of boosting it. Second, the working week is back in the headlines, from Microsoft pulling employees back into the office 3 days a week, to Spain rejecting the four-day week, and Silicon Valley startups experimenting with brutal six-day schedules. And for our third one, a juicy one, Blind CEO survey reveals that employees think nearly half of the CEOs, including Satya Nadella of Microsoft and Cristiano Amon, Qualcomm, deserve to be put on a PIP or a performance improvement plan.
Well, the lineup says it all. We have AI headaches, extreme schedules, and unhappy employees calling out their bosses. September was definitely happening. Apoorva, take us to our first topic.
All right. So the first one related to AI-generated work slop. Researchers from Stanford and BetterUp surveyed over 1,150 desk workers and found that too many employees lean on AI to crank up memos, emails, or reports, only to force their colleagues to clean up the mess. The estimated cost, about $186 per person per month, in lost productivity. Even worse, people perceive those pushing out work slop as less creative, less reliable. The irony is, while firms push for faster results via AI, many are ending up with more work and not less. The authors of this study, which was referenced in an HBR article, don't throw AI under the bus though. Their call is that we need to use it with intention. Set quality standards, model good AI use at leadership levels, and treat AI as a collaborator and not a shortcut. The bottom line is that AI isn't the problem, but it is how we use it. And if we let it run unchecked, work slop might just become the productivity killer we didn't see coming. Ankita, so let me ask you, did you encounter AI-driven work slop in the past month?
In a few ways. So Spotify brought AI slop to my attention. They've been making news recently, and they revealed that the rise in AI-generated music has been confusing listeners and unsettling creators. To quote directly from their blog, at its worst, AI can be used by bad actors and content farms to confuse or deceive listeners, push slop into the ecosystem, and interfere with authentic artists building their careers. That kind of harmful AI content degrades the user experience for listeners, and often attempts to divert royalties to bad actors. Now, they claim to have deleted 75 million music tracks already. If you do a quick math, that's 3 fake songs for every 4 real songs. They're now building exclusive filters and most likely have to hire people just to update their labels, rules, and a bunch of other things to remove this AI slop. And it's not just with music, podcasts, and videos. There is work slop, and you can see it in the emails that are being sent, right? They're twice as long as they need to be. Like literally, one colleague would go to ChatGPT and say, here's a one-line idea, convert it into a longish email that I can send to my colleague. It goes over to the colleague puts the same thing to ChatGPT and says, condense this into a one-line TLDR. And you could have just cut out the middleman and had A talk to B, but you know, we have to use AI, be smart. So yeah, I think there is a massive misutilization of these chips and electricity just to send the one line idea across.
Yeah, you know, this reminds me of an incident that a friend of mine was telling me, where in their company, they were using AI to summarize a long document that had to go to the leadership in the form of some bullet points. And the funny thing is, they received like AI generated prompts from the leadership office that, hey, use this prompt to generate the bullets. When they generated the bullets, they found that the key ones that they would have wanted to highlight from the document actually did not make it. So it again became a manual effort to actually just put those few bullets and send it across. I think what it highlights, what you were saying, and this particular incident, what it highlights is we don't have to use AI for anything and everything. There is work that can still be done faster and more reliably without leveraging AI. And that's the key. Knowing when to use AI to your advantage versus when not to is going to be a key skill in the future. I also want to drive our attention to some simple ways that we can do to avoid work slop. Again, this is not based on some extensive research. This is based on my own learnings that I've had through the along the way. So firstly, become an expert prompter. The quality of AI's output is directly tied to the quality of your input. So make sure you keep honing your prompts, share detailed prompts. And in fact, I would be happy to share some hacks about it when we post this episode on LinkedIn. Second, AI hallucinates. And a colleague at work suggested to me that just add "do not hallucinate" at the end of your prompts and you will actually get a better result. Lastly, focus on quality and not just speed. The fastest path is not always the best one. See, similar to what I said in the beginning. I honestly still feel that for really getting us the out-of-the-box ideas, we work much better than AI. Gen AI can, however, help us refine the idea and present it in a more sophisticated manner. But the bottom line lies in AI discernment, which is when to use AI, by how much, and when not to.
There is so much to like in what you said. Firstly, I had no idea if I add "do not hallucinate" at the end of a prompt, it won't hallucinate. Like, that's just like... left me gaping for a bit. The AI input quality of prompts reminds me a little bit of a discussion I had with my colleague. We spent a fair bit of time writing an elaborate prompt that we would probably never reuse. And he commented to me like, I could have done the work faster than us actually writing this prompt. So maybe when it's going to be reused a certain number of times, then you can write a elaborate prompt. But when it's maybe for just once, maybe just do the task directly. Which brings me to the point of your AI discernment. I love that line. I do think AI discernment is the new digital literacy. I like how whatever Gen AI tool we are using to give us our scripts gives us a memorable phrase each episode. However, coming back to AI discernment, I think productivity gains will remain theoretical and burnout will become very real if we don't learn how to manage AI slop. Even more ironically, we might just end up hiring people to clean the AI slop versus letting them go. So
yeah, the only last thing I would say here is that there is short-term productivity loss when you start using AI, because you are learning it, you are honing your prompts. Like you said, building that prompt itself took time, more time than the task. But as you start using it again and again, recycling that prompt, it will give you that productivity gain. So I think we should also not be bogged down. If we see that we are going slower, we might have to go a little slow in the beginning to go faster later when it comes to
AI. The miracle of all things. Okay, with that, I'm going to bring us to a second story. This one breaks my heart. So it is all about the tug of war over the working week. As much as I continue to dream of us someday moving to a four-day work week while I'm still alive, the dream seems to be becoming increasingly distant. In September, Microsoft doubled down on a three-day in-office model. Payne rejected the idea of a nationwide four-day work week despite global momentum. And in a shocking twist, parts of the Silicon Valley are embracing six-day schedules reminiscent of China's notorious 996 culture.
And I totally understand, Ankita, why this is breaking your heart. You've been talking about four-day work week in our trends or not a trend for the past 3 years, I guess. But anyway, I don't know if it's because I'm in Silicon Valley myself, but I'm not surprised to see the shift to more stricter work days and four-day work week seemingly being more far-fetched. So what stood out to me was the six-day work week. When I brought it up with a few friends here in Silicon Valley, none of them were surprised. In fact, they said that it's exactly what they are experiencing. And it ties right into this trend of job hugging, where people cling to their current roles despite the grind, simply because of the fear of layoffs, slowed hiring, and AI disruption, making stability feel safer than taking a risk. So even if the hours and the work weeks are creeping up, many employees are choosing to hold on rather than hop, which then becomes this vicious cycle.
I still hope that somehow the European Union passes some law which makes four-day work week a mandate despite Spain rejecting it. But it does say a lot about organization values, cultures, and a lot of other things, right? I think Spain rejecting the four-day work week signals caution, like they're not ready to overhaul. And I know Spain worked really hard to actually get their reputation and their economy to shift. So I can understand their hesitation. However, Silicon Valley's six-day hustle seems insane. Like maybe they're feeling left behind in the AI arms race, or I can't imagine a world where we would go backwards, but I think the entire world is receding. So this isn't a shock. So compared to all of this, Microsoft probably has the best news, where they have only 3 days in the office and they're maintaining the middle ground. But let's see where that goes.
Yeah, I think a good homework for us would also be to find out. There were some countries that had passed four-day work week as a legislation. Maybe go back and find out how those countries are doing. Have they lost any productivity as a result? And we can report back in our next episode. All right, with that, let me take us to our third and final story, which is the spicy one related to Blind CEO Performance Review Survey. What started in 2023 is gaining momentum. This year, the survey asked 3,545 verified employees across 42 companies to rate their CEOs on a 5-point scale designed to mirror employee performance reviews. The scale read as far exceeds expectations, exceeds expectations, meets expectations, needs improvement, and unsatisfactory. The results are out, and 43% said their CEOs deserve a performance improvement plan, including names like Mark Benioff from Salesforce, Jack Dorsey, Block, and ex-Twitter, Ivan Spiegel, Snap, Cristiano Amon, Qualcomm, Alex Chris, PayPal, and Satya Nadella, Microsoft. That seems like a very harsh indictment to me. But Ankita, are you happy that Jamie Dimon didn't make the list?
Jamie Dimon, he must be really happy. But I don't know whether they scrutinized financial firms like they did everything else. Now, I really enjoyed reading Blind's blog post on this survey. Now, it shows that on one hand, CEOs are under immense pressure in this AI-dominated volatile market and constantly being evaluated by the board. But on the other hand, employees are clearly losing patience with the leaders who appear disconnected or indecisive. And most of their angst is with people-related decisions, such as return to office, layoffs, and poor salary increments. So I guess we are also under fire indirectly. But the thing that stood out for me was on September 11th, there was a virtual meeting where Microsoft's Satya Nadella actually made an admission to having blotched in certain areas and said he and his leadership team definitely needs to improve and will improve. I haven't seen many CEOs, and in fact, in the recent past, I've not seen any CEOs acknowledge that they made a mistake or did something poorly and commit to publicly fixing it. So I'm hoping Nadella gets a better 2026 rating and he's taken his PIP seriously.
Yeah, I think this also tells us something important, where our function and leadership need to start taking external platforms like Blind and even Reddit as real-time listening mechanisms, much like how marketing tracks consumer sentiment. Because when employees are venting outside, it's often a sign that our internal surveys either aren't cutting it or they don't feel safe enough to voice their concerns internally. So I think there's a bit of a gap between what organizations think they are hearing and what employees actually feel, that some of these platforms can help us bridge. And I think Satya has set a great example by acknowledging it.
I am curious whether he actually saw the Blind survey results or not. I'm hoping a lot of other CEOs see it and are either amused or concerned by it. But either ways, I think it is a good one to take a look at. I also think it has, to your point, they were extremely harsh, right? Like at a normal bell curve, you won't put 43% as unsatisfactory. So I wonder whether we're just in a lot of angst and whether that will change.
Yeah, it could also be some, you know, how people say about Google reviews, where unless you have a bad experience, you don't take the time to go and post one. So maybe that's something which is reflecting these surveys. But nonetheless, when I go through some of these posts, there are pointers that companies could take back and work on if they really want to.
Absolutely. Okay. With that, we're going to wrap our three topics with a very pretty bow. There's AI work slop, the evolution of the work week, and CEOs on the hot seat. But Bandits, before we go, per usual, here's what else caught our eye. First, Hyundai in Korea is making headlines for profit sharing, committing to give 40% of its earnings back to employees in the form of bonuses. In a time where companies everywhere are squeezing employees, this feels like a bold statement about vision creation and fairness. Second, Ben & Jerry's co-founder Ben Cohen announced his resignation from the company's board. This is a sad move, but also a symbolic movement. Now, the brand has always stood for value-driven business and being vocally critical of practices that they don't agree with. They're being silenced by their parent company. So this is a symbolic movement and hopefully we won't see it being restricted much. And lastly, Swiggy in India just rolled out a groundbreaking policy. Working moms get a full year of remote work after maternity leave. It is one of the most progressive approaches to supporting new mothers in corporate India. And it will be fascinating to see if others follow.
Okay, well, that was a lot, Ankita, isn't it? So another month which showed us that workplace never sleeps and neither do we. So however, after the last month's birthday celebrations, I sure could use a nap or two.
Well, I hope you get some well-deserved rest, Apoorva. I know I wake you up early in the morning to record this episode. But Bandits, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And until next time, this is Ankita. On behalf of Apoorva and NHRDN, we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.